You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all you, wherever you are, if you're listening on the radio, on the internet. And so we just welcome you to this program. And we've been on this radio program for almost, it'll be 17 years here next week.
Awesome.
So we're honored to be here with you. We ask you as you tune in to have ears what the Spirit of God's going to tell you today, and that you might learn something that will help you to encourage, comfort, and exhort what God would have you to know in your life. So as we always say, we're honored to be here with you. And we think about, we just went through July the 4th yesterday, and our country's now 238 years old, and boy, does our country need a lot of prayer. I mean, major prayer. We got so much going on that's contrary to what God wants. And so we have to continue to pray. And no matter what it looks like, we know that we're born again. We belong to the Lord. So we will have the victory in our lives somehow. But we'd like to see this country change back the way it used to be. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen. That's right.
So that's what we pray for. And so we're honored to be here with you. We've been part of WCNO for a lot of years. And we thank God for them. They're on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with music and teaching and all. And so we're part of that. And if you have a thought about WCNO and what they're doing, we'll just keep it in your heart. And, you know, they need finances to keep the program going. And so do we. You know, this program that we do is not free. And so many of you have been listening probably for lots of years, maybe. Some people we've talked to have, and never sent an offering in to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries for this program that we share the Word of God with, the Hebrew and the Jewish roots and all that. And so if the Lord speaks to you today about it, we'll just make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and you can mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip here is 34995. And you mentioned whether you want a CD or a tape, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So God bless you all for listening. We trust you'll be blessed with what you hear. And so we just turn this over to the Lord. And especially with, we just thinking about our country having another birthday. And so we just praise the Lord. So Lord, I just pray before we start here today, we pray for all the listeners that are listening right now. In the name above all names, in Yeshua, in Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for that, that they'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would have them to see and understand with this, even
thank
if they
you,
open
Lord.
Their Bible and follow along with this. But give them ears to hear and to understand the deep things of God, because we know they only come by the Spirit of God. So we release all the listeners out there, even today. We give you glory and honor and praise. We give you praise for everyone, that they'll be in tune with you and to get exactly what you would have for them from what we talk about here today. So we release it to you, them to you as well. And we thank you for this hour. And we give you all the glory and all the praise for what you're going to do. Don and I release ourselves to you also. And we thank you for
it. Lord.
In Yeshua, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, what, you and I?
Thank you, Father.
We're
amen.
We're a majority here, right? And we say amen.
In Jesus' name.
Well, praise God. We're glad to be here with you again today.
God is good, isn't he?
Sure, he's good all the time.
And here we have a new month.
That's right. We're into Tammuz now.
Month of Tammuz.
And we wonder how in the world that got on the Jewish calendar, Pastor Donna. That was a pagan thing. But after the captivity, that came up on their calendar. And you look at their history, the month of Tammuz, all the things that's happened to them in the month of Tammuz is just incredible. And even with the golden calf when they came out of Egypt and all the different things that came up, that just, it was in the month of Tammuz. And here they got this name on their calendar that's so pagan. But anyway, our calendars...
What does Tammuz mean, actually?
I have no idea. I have to look it up and see. I don't know if it would tell us what it means or not. It's a pagan god. I might
it's
look at it
all.
But anyway, even our calendar, January, February, March, and all that, you know, those are all pagan names also, aren't they, Pastor Dunn, in this world that we live in? But we're in this world, the Bible says, but we're not part of it. Hallelujah.
We're not of it. Amen.
We're not of it.
We're in a different nation, different
right.
kingdom.
That's right.
Kingdom of heaven.
Our drumbeat is different than the world, and we have to continue to remember that. That we're not going to be desensitized with all that we hear and see going on in our country. And we're going to stay strong in the things of the Lord. Be focused on Him and nothing else. And if we do, we will have the victory in our lives and those that are around us that we can share with Him and bring them to the understanding of the Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, as their Savior. Amen, Pastor Don?
Amen. So if somebody would like to have the calendar for July mm-hmm. or Tammuz, mm-hmm. Just give us a call. We'd be glad to mail it to you.
Right.
There's also some Hebrew on there, so you can
right.
learn some Hebrew letters and you mm-hmm. can learn the alphabet. There's 22 Hebrew letters in the Jewish alphabet, and also, you know, it shows you when the new moon and all those things that have to do with the God's calendar, because it's all about God's calendar.
Amen.
And not, you know, the world's calendar. Of course, we live in the world's calendar, but God has a calendar, and that's where He has
all His appointed, right.
His appointed, His appointed seasons, His appointed feast days are all according to His calendar, praise God. So.
I even think about our dear brother that wrote the book about the blood moons, Mark Biltz. Now, he was looking at NASA's mm-hmm. things about the skies and all the way back, and he saw about these four blood moons, but he was looking at what? The Gregorian calendar, and the Lord says, go look and see what those dates are on my lunar calendar, the Jewish calendar. When he did, it blew him away. And so we've already been, you know, they had a blood moon at Passover. We got one coming on the first day of Tabernacles this year. Next year, same thing, first day of Passover and the first day of Tabernacles. So God's talking
four
to us.
Four blood moons.
That's right. And Psalm 29 says what? God's speaking all the time from
through
the heavens.
That's right. Through the stars, it's the moon.
Hallelujah.
The blood moons.
That's
God
right.
speaks.
There's something He's showing us.
But He speaks through His calendar, not through,
that's
in other
right.
words, it's by God, not by man.
That's
not,
absolutely
not
true.
Not something man creates,
mm-hmm.
but something about what God has set in place. And what God has set in place will not change.
Right.
You know, we can think we can go down 100 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, and we can change things, but, you know, God doesn't change. He doesn't change anything.
Right. Man's always trying to change
and
something.
So we have to get in the right, we have to get on God's side.
That's
and
right.
get on God's calendar.
Amen.
And, you know, that's why many people are put on this earth, born for a reason, for a purpose, and some are for good and some for bad, you know. And so we're going to talk about one that was really for good.
Good.
But, you know, if they would like to have a calendar, they can just give us a call, and I'm going to give the phone number in just a few minutes. So, and also want to mention that you have your commentary.
Right.
Which talks about, has God's calendar.
It's actually a book, that's all right.
Has God's calendar in it.
That's right, to teach you about it.
It's actually the very first lesson, because, you know, if you don't have the foundation, God's calendar is like the foundation.
Sure is. We're going to see something we read today.
Uh-huh. And so how can you tell all the other feasts of the Lord if you're not on the right calendar?
When is it? That's right.
You have to get on the right time.
Right.
The right time.
Amen.
So I just want to mention also that we have services here in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We have services on Sunday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. And then we also have this afternoon, we have a class. We have a class today at 4 o'clock.
Our Bible school.
And then we pray after that, so if you can come out. And then we also have services every Friday. We have Shabbat services. And we come together and we all take communion together and we seek the Lord's presence. And,
amen.
And we have a teaching. So that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's always something going on at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so if you'd like to be part of that or you'd like to come and visit us, just give us a call. And we'll give you directions. We're pretty easy to find. We're right on Canner Highway in the plaza, Monterey Plaza. So right next to Save a Lot Food Store.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give the phone number.
Okay.
It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. 888-787-007. I always say we're 007 agents for the Lord.
For the Lord.
You can also listen to this on the on your computer or on your smartphone.
Hallelujah.
WCNO.com.
Thank you, Lord.
And there's podcasts. You can go back and listen to programs that we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always available to you. So you know, you really don't even have to buy a CD or of this radio program. You can go back to on the computer and listen to the podcast. And just about everyone has a computer or a smartphone. So, you know, take those things and just use them because God has
They're
given
all tools
them to
of
us.
God.
Tools.
That's right.
Tools, amen. Because, you know, this radio program, it's on the internet, goes around the world. So we just thank the Lord for that, amen. So I want to say hello over there to our special friends that listen
Hallelujah.
To us up and down the coast.
The walks are walking
all
the island.
All the way up to New Hampshire, right? Yeah. And Judy and Daryl, hello. We're excited about you guys coming down this summer. And we know God has great plans. And those that listen to us down in Palm Beach area and Vero Beach and all around. And Roscoe and Audrey over on the Andros Island.
Hallelujah.
We listen every Saturday. And we just praise God for the temple of God on Andros Island. And they are needing finances for
concrete blocks, yes, to build the temple of God,
so
the building.
So if you want to give some money for some blocks to go over there, amen, you can just give us a call or you can send some money in and you
mark
can
it
say,
for that?
For Andros Island, for
we'll
the blocks for the temple of God.
We'll make sure they get it.
Help to build the literal house of God.
Amen.
Right now they're meeting in a tent. And that's wonderful. It's beautiful. And it's
They've been doing it for quite a while.
It's protected. I mean, it's good. It's a good tent. But it's time to put the blocks up. Amen?
That's right.
Set the blocks in
order.
In order. In
Hallelujah.
Place. Praise God. So we thank God for them. Roscoe and Audrey walks on Andros Island.
Sure.
And we're blessed to be here today. How about you, Pastor Gene?
We're blessed to be here on the air. Amen.
Yes, we're blessed to be here. And we do thank the Lord for where we live. We live in a free country. There's a lot of things going on in other countries that Christians are being persecuted, murdered every
That's
day.
Right.
They're
every
dying
day.
For their faith. They're standing for their faith.
Yeah.
And you know what? We are blessed, and we still need to continue to pray. And because there's great things going on. There's things that are happening, revivals that are happening. God is still
on the throne. Hallelujah.
On the throne, and He still wants to give America a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
And He wants us to repent and turn from our wicked ways and come back to the truth of God's word. You know, there was a young man who did that during a wicked time. And you know, if God can do it once, He can do it twice. And
He
can
many
do it
times.
Many times.
That's right.
He saved Nineveh
right.
from destruction.
For a while, as long as
for
they
a while.
Turned in the end.
Well, sure.
That's right.
And He used a young boy, young man by the name of Josiah to bring reform
to Israel.
Israel.
In fact, last week we talked about Hannah, you know, Samson's mother,
mm-hmm.
Samuel's mother. We talked about Samuel a lot, but we talked about what she went through and how important women are in the ministry and all that. But this week I got thinking about Josiah again.
Josiah.
And so we talked about him several weeks ago, how, you know, he became king. His father Amon was a wicked, wicked king. And when he died, well, Josiah was the next in line. He was 8 years old when he became king. Well, by the time he was 16, he started seeing some things. And then by the time he was 26, he brought all these reforms into Israel, tore down all the pagan altars and everything, and reestablished the worship the way it was supposed to be done, as God laid out years before that. And they had a Passover that year. When he finished all that, it was never done before, for years and years and years that way. And so Josiah was an incredible young man. And I happened to look up his name this morning. His name means fire of the Lord. He had the fire of the Lord on him, let me tell you.
Amen.
What he really did. But I thought we'd go back now. I got thinking about Josiah and thinking about what brought him to the place where he just knew that there was something wrong in Israel, and also that he wanted to try to do something about it, and especially when his father was so wicked. But we have to go back to 1 Kings, and I'm going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 12. We're going to read several verses here, and you'll begin to see what happened with this young man. And we'll talk about this. I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 12, and I want to start in verse 25. Now, if we remember this, Solomon was king at this time, and because of, you know, he led a terrible life. If you study his life about all the pagan altars and the wives that he had and all that, well, the kingdom was split at that time, and the northern tribes went up into Samaria, and then Judah and Benjamin stayed in Jerusalem. And so the kingdom was divided at that time. And we think about all this as we read the scriptures, and we'll see some things about this. And Rehoboam was the king that was going to follow King Solomon here after he died. But we see there was a division, and a man by the name of Jeroboam took the northern tribes and went up and established his own form of religion and all that. We're going to read this, and we'll see what happens and why God used this man by the name of Josiah to take care of this years and years in the future. So I'm going to start in verse 25. It says this, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim," this is in the northern part of Israel, "and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, 'Now shall the king return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord of Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto the Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah.'" So he didn't want that to happen. "Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold," listen to this, "and said unto them, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods,'" small g, they made their own gods, like they did when they came out of Egypt, "'O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" Same terminology. Verse 29, "And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan." Remember, Bethel means house of God. What's Dan's name mean? It means judge.
Judge.
"And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of, and he," this is Jeroboam, "made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people," listen to this, "which were not of the sons of Levi. Now here's where you're going to need
to just anyone.
This is when you need to know your calendar now. "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing of the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made." Now this is the eighth month on the Jewish calendar, is the month called Hezron. So think about it. And it was on the 15th day of the month. So that was on
full
a
moon.
Full moon. So what do we have?
So God tells us.
Unleavened bread starts on a full moon.
Yes.
And this, and tabernacle starts on a full moon, but it's not in the eighth month. Passover's in the first month. And what? The tabernacles is what? In the seventh month. So this is the month after, so this is a month after all this. And so he's showing us some interesting things here. God wants us to know. All right. So he's changing everything. He's going to establish his own form of worship. We got people doing this today, don't we, Pastor Don? Now, verse 33. "So he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart."
This is sin.
Yeah, it was sin. "And ordained a feast unto the children of Israel," a month after tabernacles. "And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense." Now we go to chapter 13.
So he's making his own.
He established his own form of worship. That's right.
His own God.
Now, chapter 13, verse 1. "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." Now this man of God, his name's never mentioned, but he's a prophet, we know, but just as a man of God. Now listen to this. "And he cried against the altar," in verse 2, "in the word of the Lord, and said," this is this prophet that came, no name, right? We don't know what his name is, but God
altar.
Certainly does. "O altar,
altar,
altar. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places and burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee." Now think about this. His name is mentioned 351 years before he was born. So remember what happened when we read over in Chronicles about Josiah when he became king? Remember they found the scroll and they opened up the scroll, and then Huldah the prophetess began to read it and all that?
Because every word is written down. Every word is put in there. So they saw this.
And so he heard his name mentioned when they were
there. They saw his name.
That's right.
What does a name mean? A name has power. A name means something. So he says, "Behold, a child shall be born into the house of David." Well, just telling you where the house is, whose house it is David's house. You know that because what did God say about David? He was a man after
God's heart.
Mm-hmm. And he gives his name.
That's right.
There's power in a name. We talked about this last week about how important names
are.
And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the
these high places. Whoa.
That burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. You know, he, Josiah, tore down those high places.
He sure did.
And you know who built those high places? Solomon. That's Solomon right. did a wicked...
He allowed it to happen.
Solomon did many wicked things. And so, you know, Solomon was not a picture of somebody who loved God, but David was. David was. And so was Josiah, because he says Josiah it comes from the house of David. And Josiah, he saw these wicked things, and you know, and he was only 8 years old
That's right.
when he became king.
But the key thing is when they opened up the scriptures,
they saw his name,
and he saw his name. Now he saw his name mentioned. Now he could have ignored it, said, mm-hmm. "Well, it didn't really mean anything."
Mm-hmm.
But he did. He took that prophetic word that was spoken, mm-hmm. and he says, "I'm going to do something about this." And this is what he did. Amen. And so he went and did all this. So let's go on. And he gave a sign the same day to this unknown prophet. About what he was going to do. This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. So, well, he was going to ignore it, wasn't he, Jeroboam?
Well, maybe he was going to kill him.
Yeah, and his hand, which he had put forth against him, dried up so he could not pull it in again to him. So it withered his hand when he did this.
So God protected this
That's
man
right.
of God.
That's right.
Whether it be a man, an angel, I don't know, but God protected
Since
him.
It was a man, yeah.
A man. And so, you know, he was going to put his hand forth to kill him.
Well, we'll see what he does here. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God mm-hmm. had given by the word of the Lord. It happened right in front of him.
That's right.
And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. This is going to be a miracle.
Oh, isn't that just like man?
Yeah.
They want to destroy the good,
yeah.
and then something, and God brings judgment, and now they want to say, now
they cry out to
I'm
God.
Going to kill you, and now will you pray for me? What
That's
a
right.
turn.
That's right. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. So it was a miracle. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward.
Now he's going to take him to his house. I wonder what he's going to think about doing now.
Yeah.
Now that his hand is restored.
Well,
you know, there's a lot of people,
sure.
even today, they turn against godly people. They pretend, but then they turn against them, right?
That's right.
To bring destruction, to destroy. But you know, God is always there to protect his people, to protect his apostles, his prophets, those who are delivering the word of truth. You know, haven't we been persecuted a lot, Pastor Gene?
Sure we have.
Certainly. And
That's
you know,
right.
and people want a blessing from you, but they don't want to pay the price that God says it's for them to do.
That's right.
Because you have to tear down these altars that we have. People mm-hmm. have altars in their lives.
Yeah.
And not only in their physical house, but in their because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
temple
we are.
Of the Holy Ghost. And so how many people that have altars built up in their heart that they don't want to tear down, and they're not going to tear down because their heart's not been tenderized like David's was.
Yep.
They don't have a repentant heart to turn from the wickedness that they love. You see, they love the sin more than they love the holiness, but
yep.
yet they want the blessing of God.
Amen.
You can't have both.
Nope. No
you
way
can't
to have both.
Both. There's no way. The Bible talks about anybody who is double-minded. You know, people
yep.
want healing, people want deliverance, but they don't want to pay the price.
That's right. It tells in the book of Hebrews, if we don't seek after holiness, that means being set apart for
mm-hmm.
the Lord, we'll never see the face of God. See,
That's
very
right.
important verse. But when we think about this now, what's going on here, Josiah, back when he was born, well, he had a choice to make. And I can imagine how much persecution he had when he wanted to tear down all those pagan altars and everything that Solomon allowed to be built. He must have been hating a lot of Rhenas in Israel at that
mm-hmm.
time. But he went ahead and did it anyhow and established a Passover that they hadn't had in years. So verse 8 says, and the man of God said unto the king, and when he invited him to his house, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was, he charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink no water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. He was supposed to go out in an opposite way he came into the city. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came into Bethel. Now look and see what happens here. God's going to test Jeroboam here, okay, and look at and all, but also he's going to test this prophet that we don't have a name for. Listen to this.
This man of God.
That's right, this man of God. Now, verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. Now they don't tell you this man's name either, okay?
No, but you know, there are false prophets in the land.
Sure are.
And we need to be cautious because the enemy will send a lying spirit.
Sure can.
And so
it's
if
in
we,
the Bible.
That's right. There's a lying spirit. And so, we should look at these things as even today because these spirits don't die. You know, there's demonic, there's evil spirits everywhere. And so I think they even increase as things get worse. Okay,
that's
as
right.
Our nation gets worse and worse and worse, there's more and more evil spirits being released.
Sure.
Because people are accepting it and they want it. And so when if people want sin and they want abortion and they want same-sex marriage and they want all these things, there's more and more evil spirits being released
in our country
over the nation.
That's right.
So here we have, and so we need to be cautious. We need to have actually the Bible calls it discernment. If
that's
we
right.
don't have discernment,
that's what we need,
and if we get off guard, well, we think our job is done. We're just going to trolley on home. Well,
yeah.
Maybe we'll just go a different way. You
yeah.
know? But God tells you, you know, if you say, well, I'm just going to go a different way. Well, you know, if God doesn't tell you to go a different way, you don't listen to strangers. You don't
right.
listen to other people.
He was told not to go
another
way.
Because if you go the wrong way, you know, you're liable to get hit by a car, let's
that's
just
right.
say. You know, the enemy wants to come and wants to take us out. So if we don't have discernment
right.
and we don't get to the place where we think, well, you know, the work is done and we're just like lolly, lolly, lollygagging around. You know, what happens? We get off. What we do is we let down our guard.
That's right.
We let down our guard. And if you let down your guard, then what
the
happens?
The enemy comes in.
The enemy comes in.
We say it all the time. Give him an inch, he'll become a yard, won't
he'll become a ruler.
A ruler, that's
he'll
right.
want to rule your life.
That's right. But anyway, here we see this, and I believe this is all showing us that God was going to prove that Jeroboam was wicked, and he wanted to bring him down, okay?
Now they call this an old prophet.
An old prophet. Now, we read verse 11, and verse 12 says, and their father said unto them, what way he went, for his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came forth from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then said he unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he just told the king before that he wasn't going to go to the king's house. But look
and
what
he wasn't going
to. And he didn't go to the king's house. Now listen to this. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee.
Mm-hmm.
Neither will eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. So he refused to go to the king's house, but because this guy says he's an old prophet. Listen to this. For
see,
it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. So that got his attention.
And that sounds like pride there to
that's
me
right.
too.
That's yeah. right. And an angel spake unto me by the, he says, an angel spake
an angel
unto
now.
Me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Now listen to this.
Now but does an angel have to speak to you? Don't you think God can speak
that's
to
right.
him? God had already given him directions.
That's
does
right.
God change?
Nope.
God doesn't change his mind.
So,
yeah, and that's so true in today.
That's right.
Somebody says, oh, I'm God's told me to do this. And then all of a sudden somebody comes and talks to them or they hear from a different spirit and they change their mind. Oh, you know, I've been called to do this. I've been called to do that. Now next week I'm called to do this and I'm called to do that. They're changing, they're jumping back and forth, and you know what? They're not going to receive anything from the Lord.
We were told when we started our church, you really want to do that? You really want to be a pastor? You really want to do that? Well,
mm-hmm.
we know God spoke, so we did it. But look at the end of verse 18. It says, but this prophet supposedly that came to him, but he lied unto him.
So he was a false prophet.
He was
prophet.
A false prophet.
And he was an old fool.
Right. So just think about this well-known, well, he must have been a pretty well-known prophet, but the name's
yeah.
not given here. We don't know.
Well, did he make reforms in Israel? Did he change things, this old prophet?
No, he
what
didn't.
What good did he do?
That's right.
Okay.
But anyway.
You know, we're known by our works,
by our
right?
fruit, yeah.
Our fruit.
So this prophet that God sent to tell about Josiah, well, the prophet told Jeroboam, I'm not going to your house. But then another man came, claiming he was from God.
Claiming he's a prophet.
And he lied to
and
him and convinced
an
him to go back to his house. Now, listen to this.
So he went back
with him in verse 19.
He did eat.
And did eat bread in his house and drank water. Now, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back.
Wow.
The false prophet. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee. So here he's telling the truth now.
Now he's telling the truth.
But camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. Listen to this. And it came to pass.
That's strong.
Yeah, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him, his original prophet, by the way, and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. Didn't even kill the donkey, huh? And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. So God used this false prophet for a reason at that time. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria
shall surely come to pass.
After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way. Listen to this. He didn't return, but made again the lowest of the people, priest of the high places, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places, not even from the tribe of Levi.
So he didn't change, did he?
And this thing became sin into the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Isn't that incredible?
So what is our lesson from this? I mean, Jeroboam went back to his old ways, and he continued.
Right.
But what kind of a witness did this prophet that brought the message have?
That's right.
Because he turned from the way of that the Lord had spoken to him. And he listened to another person, another prophet, and so he really blew his witness there, didn't he? Even though what he spoke was true.
That's right.
But he blew his witness, and because of that, perhaps partly because of that, Jeroboam went back to his old ways. He went to setting up the lowliest of as priests.
That's right. It's incredible.
The lowliest of people, priests of the high places. So, and well, these high places were the places where they sacrificed the children, Moloch, the spirit of Moloch. And so these high places were places that Solomon built for his wives, 700 wives.
And 300 concubines.
And 300 concubines. And because he didn't marry the women actually a king's not supposed to have a lot of wives, you know, the Bible says that. But all these women that he brought, he lusted after, were from different nations, and they had their own gods. They didn't have the God of Israel. So what happened to him? His heart wasn't like the heart of David. He built these high places, and he sacrificed his own children. He allowed his wives to sacrifice his firstborn child, male or female, on these high places that were built and all over Israel. And so here we have, now that we have these lowly people, these lowly priests.
Not from Levi.
They're not priests for the holy of holies or for the temple. They're priests for the high places.
That's right, the high places.
And those are the places where they sacrificed their children. My Lord, help us.
But we're talking about Josiah.
How many children have been sacrificed in this nation, Pastor?
Somewhere
Gene?
Close to 60 million now.
That we know of. So many children. But the Bible says what? The blood. If the blood of one man cried out, what would it be like the blood of six? How many did you say again?
Almost 60 million babies.
60 million babies.
That's right. Now, thinking about Josiah, I went back over to 2 Chronicles 34, where we were at a couple of weeks ago, and we'll see what he did, because he had to deal with this. And he got, I'm sure he got stirred up when he saw his name over there, so he believed what God said. He was going to do something about it. So I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and I'm going to start in verse 3, just read a few verses here. It says, "For in the eighth year of his reign," so that means at this time, Josiah was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. He was yet young. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. Listen to this, from the high places. Well, how did they get there? Solomon allowed this to be done. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down and the groves and the carved images, the molten images, he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. So that's exactly what this prophecy said 350 years earlier. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon the altars. And
these lowly priests.
That's right. And cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even to Naphtali with their mattocks. The mattocks means their hoes. It's a hoe. A roundabout. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Isn't that incredible?
You know, that there were hundreds of high places where they sacrificed these children and these people worshipped at these high places. Not at the temple in Jerusalem or not in a synagogue or in a holy place that God might have established, but all of this on these altars of the devil.
That's right.
It's the devil. It's all things of
Absolutely the devil.
Death.
You know, I thought about this while we're just reading here. It's interesting that he was 16 here in verse 3, but they didn't find the book of the Torah and all that until the 18th year of his reign. So he was 26 years old when they found this, and he had already begun to institute all this from his heart somehow. But when he read his name in the prophecy.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine what he must have thought? And so then it tells that Hilkiah, she found this book, the Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law, and the Lord had given to Moses, and it was read before the king.
It's a miracle. You know, the Lord protected this child.
That's right.
Because, you know, he had such a work to do for the Lord. And, you know, the enemy always comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's
but
right.
This child was, I mean, this was a special time in Israel and to bring all these the change,
right.
To bring this change and to tear down the evil and to, you know, give the land a cleansing. He didn't just tear them down or knock them down. He burnt them. He crushed them. I mean, he made them, he turned them into, what did it say, like
powder. That's right.
These images. And, you know, it wasn't just one kind of image.
That's
they had
right.
all kinds of images, all kinds of high things built, you know, made
That's
of
right.
wood and different kinds
yeah.
of material. There were just hundreds of them, and they were all over. Can you imagine walking through Israel, and these every hill or every little high place, somebody has gone and built an altar.
That's right.
To sacrifice, not to worship God, but to sacrifice their child to these demonic spirits.
Well, we have pagan altars all over the world. It's been built to some
we
false religious.
We have
They're
them
everywhere.
All over the United States.
Sure.
I mean, there's a huge one right there in Georgia. They're all over the place.
That's
There's
right.
high places. There were high
sure.
places and mounds in the United States.
Yeah.
And that
Satan
where people have built these places.
Right.
And they need to be torn down. There's high places in Washington, D.C. There's
right.
statues of ungodly things all over this country.
Amen.
And so they want to tear the cross down, don't they?
That's right.
They want to, I mean, there's a,
they don't
a
want
cross
those posted
out in California. They want to take that cross
they
down
wanna,
because they say it's government property. Well, and people are coming against it because they don't want to see a cross because they say it's religious. And now
right.
they're saying, well, it's, that doesn't really mean a religious symbol. Well, let's face it. Cross means it's a picture of what our Savior did
died
for
on,
us.
Yeah.
And when we start making excuses and say, well, it's not really a cross, because that's what they're saying. I read it just the other day. They're saying, well, it's a cross, but it really means something else. It means like, you know, unity. It means like
yeah.
for people who died, veterans who died, because this is where the veterans are. And, you know, there were a lot of people died. So, you know, we can't make excuses for what a cross represents.
That's right.
No.
It's what it means.
But we don't worship the cross. We know that.
That's right.
But it's to
we worship the man that died on
Yeshua,
that tree.
Jesus
that's right.
Christ, who died
yeah.
on the cross and gave his life for us.
But But we see this, and then, you know, Hilkiah found the book, and then she gave it mm-hmm. to Shaphan, who was the scribe, and he took it to the king.
Wow.
And it tells you in verse 19 of chapter 34, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes.
Tore his clothes.
And that's when he found out of his name being mentioned 351 years before.
Awesome.
And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and all them, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord,
the Lord
that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah, this is the high priest, and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, hallelujah.
The prophetess. We
talked about
woman.
The women last week.
This is
Huldah,
a woman.
The prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikvath, and the son of Hezra, keeper of the robe and all.
Wardrobe.
And they spake to her in to that effect. And now listen. Now here's the prophetess speaking. She answered them, says this, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye, that means you all, the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. This is in Deuteronomy, the curses and blessings.
Thank
because they
Lord.
Have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. So he brings the judgment. She brings the judgment. What's going to happen? But
the
listen
prophet does, but the prophet brings the word.
Now listen to this.
The prophet doesn't make it happen.
That's right.
But he brings the word.
Just drops the mail. And listen to this. Verse 26. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Listen to this. Concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God. Think about it. He was raised in a terrible environment. His father was wicked.
His father was a wicked king.
He says, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me,
wow.
I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, listen, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace.
Peace.
Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place. It's going to happen after he's gone, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Amen?
Wow, what a humble man.
And if you go on down through, it tells you what
talks
the king...
about the covenant.
So they made a new covenant with the Lord and all that. Mm-hmm. And I like verse 33 at the end of the chapter. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. And then you go in chapter 35.
Well, I want to read verse 30.
He established this great Passover.
Right. I like the verse 30 before what you just read.
Okay.
It says, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord, Yahweh, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And this reminds me of when we do the Bible Marathon.
That's right.
This coming year in November. Get ready, guys. It won't be long. We'll be reading the entire word of the Lord, the word of the covenant.
From beginning to end.
That's right.
Without stopping.
In November, the entire Bible on government property, out on the at the Banshell.
In Stewart.
And we will be declaring God's word over this, over Martin County, over the Treasure Coast.
Amen.
We need to continue to pray for the place that God has us dwelling. Amen.
Amen.
And so that will happen again. Number 14, 2 7s. Amen. I think that's speaks as well. 7 is God's perfect number. Well, 2 times 7 is double, twice as much. So we just continue to do what God has called us to do. Because the word of God, it goes into the atmosphere. It goes into the ground. You're going to say, well, how does that happen? Well, God's word is like a
Hammer. Breaks the rocks in pieces,
crushes them, yeah. And it goes, and we're speaking the word of God, we're declaring the word of God, facing Jerusalem, mm-hmm. a blessing, and his word does not return void, and so we know that there's power in God's word,
That's right.
So we need lots, hundreds of readers to come and to take 15 minutes, maybe one day a week, maybe 5 days, 15 minutes each, or maybe you want to read for an hour. Who knows, whatever, but we need hundreds of people to come and to read the Word of God with power and with might over the speaker, and you know, it just shakes the whole place.
That's right.
And you can feel it, and you can sense it, and you know, people will be crying out for God, for repentance, and that God's people's hearts will become like Josiah's heart.
You have to repent before there ever be a revival.
That's right. Josiah kept the Passover. Now he's going to establish the Passover in chapter 35.
Look, read verse 1 there, honey.
Verse 1, he's going to hasn't had the Passover in a long time. It says, moreover, what? Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month.
That's here's where you need to know the Jewish calendar.
So you need to know the Jewish calendar. That's the same day on the 14th of Nisan. That's the same day Yeshua was put on the cross. Amen. And he died.
That's right.
That was a full moon.
That's right.
And he set the priests in their charge, and he encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord.
So, if we go over to verse 17, now we'll go over there, honey. Read that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. He put all this in place to do this marvelous Passover. Read these next few verses.
Oh, glory to God.
Starting in verse 17.
Well, they killed the Passover. You know, verse 7, 11. They killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands. And the Levites
flayed them, all
flayed
the animals.
Them, the animals. And they removed the burnt offering that they might give according to the visions of the families of the people to offer unto the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so did they with the oxen.
They did everything that Moses put in place.
Every person, individual sin. Jesus died for every person, every individual person's sin.
Every person.
For each person, amen. And they roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinances, but the other holy offerings sod they in pots and in cauldrons and in pans, and divided them speedily among
all the people.
So all the people.
They all partook.
Makes me think about taking communion.
That's right.
They all partook. They were there not to worship at high places, but they were to be humble themselves and come before the Lord and have their sins removed.
Thank you, Lord.
And afterward, they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests of the sons of Aaron were busy in offering of burnt offerings and the fat until night. I mean, there was a lot of
till 3 in
sacrifices.
The afternoon, yeah.
That's right. That means after 3 in the afternoon. That's when Jesus died on the cross, gave up the ghost. Therefore, the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests the sons of Aaron. What did you want me to read?
Oh, go ahead. Just keep on. You're doing it. Just read it down. We're going to read down through verse 19.
This shows you how great it was. See, the blood of Jesus. It's the blood. It's always been the blood. And the singers and the sons of Asaph were in their places according to the commandment of David and Asaph and
Heman
and
Jonathan,
the king's seers. These are like prophets. And the potters waited. Porters waited at every gate. They might not depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord. Burnt offerings on the Lord's altar. Amen. According to the commandment of King Josiah.
It was the king's commandment to do it. Now go on now.
And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time.
And
the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
For 7 days.
7 days.
That's right.
And there was no Passover like that. Like to that kept in Israel
from the days of Samuel. Just think how many years
prophet,
that must have been.
It was years and years. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. Wow. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Now you can see why God spoke this word in chapter 34 about how great he was, about his tender heart.
So this was done, and in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept.
So at this time he was 26 years old.
And it was his 18th year as a king.
That's right. Isn't it incredible? What one man could do. But he changed the whole environment and the atmosphere.
Everything changed.
In that land at that time.
People were thinking about God. You know, people need to be thinking about God on this 4th of July.
Right.
You know, this 4th of July weekend. People need to be thinking about what God has done, what God wants to do. And thinking about what has the enemy done in our nation.
That's right.
We need to turn and repent and return to the Lord, just like Josiah did. We need to, our hearts need to be pierced.
That's right.
Jesus.
So what an incredible man. And he had a heart after God. And so
and
God blessed him.
He sought holiness, Pastor
Gene. But you know, then after him, there was other kings came. And some of those kings were not very good either, you know. But he established something. And he was a king for quite often. I don't know if it tells us how many years he was actually
30,
king.
I think it was 31 years. I can't remember exactly.
Remember he got killed in battle. How many kings would go out to battle? Not very many kings would do that. They stayed home like King David did. That's how he got in trouble.
He went out to battle.
But he went out to battle, and so he got killed. But look at the reforms that he put in place because he had a heart after God. And it must have taken a while. I thought about this the other day. All the false pagan altars they had all over the land. It must have taken a while to get around to all those and to destroy those things. He burned those things with fire, broke them into powder and all that. It told us that in chapter 35, verse 35, what they did with those. Oh, that's something else.
He died in battle. You know, he never quit.
So chapter 34.
He wasn't too prideful to go to battle. He died in battle.
Yeah, this was actually chapter 34 I mentioned. Verse 5 says, he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. He went to all those places to tear all those images down. It's incredible. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even to Naphtali with their mattocks round about. So he went through all the land with a hoe and tore all those things down and burnt the bones of the priests on those altars. It's incredible what he did. So that didn't happen in 2 or 3 days. That must have taken maybe several months. Or maybe longer to get that all done. And then he instituted, made a new covenant with God, with the people, about keeping the Passover and keeping his commandments. What an incredible start over again. And it just shows us, I believe with all my heart, if we're sincere with God, no matter how many things we've done wrong, we can start all over. We can ask him to forgive us, and we can start all over and walk a holy life with him. And the past will be the past, and it won't affect us. This is what Josiah did. So as long as he was king, about 31 years, everything went well.
But immediately afterwards, when his son was put in king, 3 months later, the enemy came in and took the things. It's in the very next chapter.
Right.
So as long as he was king, God kept his promise that he had said back in the back, just a few where we read before earlier in the chat in the book.
That's right.
You know, he had kept it. But as soon as his son was made king, it wasn't. What's it say here?
Verse chapter 36. And the people then took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. And Jehoahaz was 20 and 3 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned three months. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents and so on.
So only 3 months. He only reigned 3 months.
Right.
So God allowed the enemy to come in right away as soon as Josiah was gone. He died. So here, and he promised them he would have, you know, he would be, things would go well. But as soon as his son came in,
another son came. The king made Eliakim, his brother of Jehoahaz, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho, this was of Egypt, took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Verse 5 says, and Jehoiakim was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Here they turned right back to wickedness again. Isn't that incredible?
And then Nebuchadnezzar comes along.
That's right.
And so,
all this stuff
happens. It just shows you, you know, as long as a nation will do what's right.
We need godly leaders.
Even in Israel, they do things that aren't right. You know, there's abortion is legal in Israel, and other things that are against God's word are done in Israel. You know, even it's every nation. You know, there's no nation that's perfect. Every nation needs to turn to the Lord. You know, Jesus didn't die just for the Jews. He died for all mankind. That whoever would turn to the Lord, whoever would come to Him, would be saved.
That's right.
You know, it's not. the kingdom of Israel or the kingdom of any other kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven that suffers violence. You know, the people, the enemy is trying to destroy those who are in part of the kingdom of heaven.
That's
He's
right.
trying to put it down. But, you know, we know that we just need to seek the truth. The truth, the Bible says, the truth will what?
Make us free.
Make us free.
That's
you
right.
want to be free?
It's incredible.
Well, we want to be free. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and
we're
I just don't
three
know
and a half
where
minutes.
This time goes, Pastor Gene.
It's good.
But,
all these good
know,
examples. We can
we
apply this
to.
Today, can't we, to our lives?
We should apply everything that God says in His Word. We should look and see what the spiritual application God
no paganism in our
speak
life.
To us
Hallelujah.
About. Amen. Take all of our, tear down your idol. Tear down those idols, you know, that are
That's
built
right.
up in your heart. Or, you know, a lot of these idols come from our heritage.
Sure.
Our parents, you know, our generation, our grandparents.
You're right.
They have brought these things over and they've been brought down into our lives. So we need to recognize these things and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the blessings of God will be poured out upon us.
And
amen.
We think about our country. We have all kinds of idols. People worship people,
everywhere.
Things, sports figures, movie stars. Those are all idols in our in mm-hmm. people's lives. They need to be torn down. You can't put nothing before God.
That's right. Even yeah. That's right. So I just want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. And we're on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 o'clock till 1 o'clock. And you can go and listen to us on the internet. You can listen to this over again on the podcast. Just go to WCNO.com and go to Saturday and then look for Raising the Standard. Gene Hilton. So it's Raising the Standards, the name of this radio broadcast, so you can listen to whatever you want to. There's several, lots and lots and lots of different podcasts you can listen to on WCNO. So, but we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have today we have a Bible school at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And tomorrow we have church service. We come together, fellowship, and that's at 10 o'clock. So we're right here in Stuart, Florida. So I'm going to give you our phone number if you'd like a copy of this month's calendar for July and also the month of Tammuz. We'd be glad to mail that out to you.
Mm-hmm.
And our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
Now, you know, we talk a lot about Jewish things. We didn't mention this, but if you'd like to get my book,
Amen.
About the God's prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah, we offer that for $25 and maybe mm-hmm. $3 for shipping and handling. You can send a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries at Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. The zip is 34995. Be glad to get it out to you, and you'll be blessed. Not because of me, but because of what it reveals from the Word of God.
Amen.
About these appointed. They're not the Jews' appointed times. They're God's appointed times that He gave to them. And so means we're connected with the Jews. We're grafted in. Those are part of us as well. And we need to honor and embrace those things, even though we're not Jewish.
That's right. And we need to honor the Sabbath.
That's right. We've
not
been
robbed legalistically, of all that. But it's for man. The
That's
Sabbath
right.
was given for man. It was given before the law. And God told Moses, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.
That's
Amen.
Right. So be blessed. Enjoy this weekend. Our country's 238 years old this weekend. And
Amen.
So enjoy the weekend.
And
so
pray
we love
for
you.
America.
Yeah, and pray. We love you. And that's why we're on this program. We want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. And so as we close every week, we tell you to look up, because your dream. Redemption does what? Draws nigh.
Near.
Near. It's
not
nigh.
Near. Not
so,
near.
Yeah. So what do you say, Pastor Donna, when we close?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy. We'll be right back.
Bye.